This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
You're on a ship and it's drowning. There's a child dying. How can you possibly like even begin to read into the estimation of all of this and the qadr of this, right? So you can't come to terms with qada if you don't trust the qadr.
Always know that it is possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change you or to change a situation. Our responsibility is to know Him and to trust Him and to love Him.
Sometimes you'll find people have, mashallah, great degrees in Islamic studies, but in a moment of calamity, when the iman of al-qadr is very weak, that knowledge becomes nothing. But you have an average person who has no education, no Islamic education whatsoever, but their iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them that meaning to everything they see. And I love to use the expression, subhanAllah, they see beauty in the middle of chaos. They see that beauty in the middle of that chaos.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Welcome back to Quran 30 for 30. The question from yesterday's juz: what are two other names of Surah Al-Isra? So please do answer below. Bidnillahi ta'ala. A reminder, of course, to donate to Yaqeen, inshallah, if you haven't already. We're mid-month now, so you should have by now, but inshallah ta'ala, hopefully you still will. And of course, to download the ebook and follow along, inshallah ta'ala. We're joined, of course, by Sheikh Abdullah Duro and Sheikh Yasir Bijaz. Hayakallah, Sheikh Yasir, kevin hal.
Alhamdulillah.
Welcome to Dal, Sheikh.
Allah barak fi, mashallah. Feels like home, mashallah.
Feels like home. don't get too comfortable, Sheikh. I'm sorry, you locked me out of the other space. I hope you know that all 10 parking spots in front of Yaqeen belong to me.
No wonder I was looking for an empty spot, basically.
I parked my truck across all 10, you know. So.
As a matter of fact, I saw your truck even parked all the way. It's been taking the driveway, even actually, yes, the sidewalk, man. Even.
Oh, you gotta help me like that, Sheikh. We're in Texas, Sheikh. We gotta pick up trucks, man.
MashaAllah.
You're welcome to park at the McDonald's next door. Make sure that you boycott them on the way.
Is it halal?
To use their parking spot, we'll have to ask the official BDS Fatwa Committee.
No. But,
he's on a roll, man.
But Sheikh Yasser is different, man. It's different.
Yeah. Y'all heard this special salams which have Sheikh Abdullah, mashallah. Or Sheikh Yasser, mashallah.
No, Sheikh, that's all good, man. Sorry, I'm going to show you some love.
We all love Sheikh
Yasser. As always.
Yeah. You're just being jealous, bro.
Yeah, I am.
He lives in Capel. You live in Valley Ranch.
I do.
Just pretend to live in Capel.
Pretend to live in Capel.
You're a foreign imam to them, isn't it?
I'll let the community know that, inshallah. Capel community.
Come over to Valley Ranch more often, inshallah.
No, I mean, I love this.
Hayakallah, Sheikh. It's good to have you.
Love it.
Always good to have you, Sheikh. Always good to have you. Inshallah ta'ala, with that, we will go ahead and get started. Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulina wa alihi wa sahbihi man wala. So today's juz, actually, subhanAllah, is one of the greatest lessons in qadr. So I was looking forward to this, actually, when I initially started mapping out my notes for Quran 30 for 30 this year, because it matches perfectly with the series. And I think all of us will be talking about qadr, inshallah, in some manifestation, as we did last juz as well. If you go to verse 21 of Surah Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ كَذَلِكِ قَالَ رَبُّكِ هُوَ عَلَيَّ هَيِّنَ وَلِنَجْعَلَهُ آيَةٍ لِلنَّاسِ وَرَحْمَةً مِنَّا وَكَانَ أَمْرًا مَقْضِيًّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in reply to Maryam alayhi salam that it was said to her, so it will be. When Maryam asks, how can I have a son and I have not been touched? How is it possible that I will be giving birth to this boy? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is easy for me. Huwa alayya hayyin. And there is no easier with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's all the same to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kun fayakun. Allah says, be and it is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we will make him a sign for humanity and a mercy from us. Rahmatan minna. So a special mercy from us. But then Allah says, وَكَانَ أَمْرًا مَقْضِيًّا. It is a matter already decreed. Now, there's a difference here between qadr and qada. Many of the ulama mentioned that the difference between al-qadr wal-qada, qadr is the estimation of all things. It is the calculation of all things. Qada is when it comes into its existence on this earth, when it actually manifests itself. So qada is the judgment, the execution of the planning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the calculation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which is held from our understanding, held from our vision. And qada is when it actually comes to form in this world. So the interesting thing here is that when Jibreel alayhi salam says to Maryam alayhi salam, kana amran maqdiya, it's almost as if he's saying, as many of the ulama mentioned, you're already pregnant. Like you're arguing here and saying, how can I have a son when I've never been touched? And how can this be? As if she's protesting, like what's going to happen here? Kana amran maqdiya, this has come into existence. The baby is already meant to be born, subhanAllah. So it is already decreed for you. So qada is a step further than qadr, as many of the scholars mentioned. But I want to also point out something else. When you go before Maryam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us, Zakariya, calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah for a son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, responds to Zakariya and says, إِنَّا نُبَشِّرُكَ بِغُلَامٍ إِسْمُهُ يَحْيَى. We've already named him for you. By the way, you're asking for a son. He's already been named. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the way that he is going to be. لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ سَمِيَّةٍ, that he's the first one to be named this way. And Allah mentions of his qualities in verse 13. وَحَنَانًا مِنْ لَدُنَّا وَزَكَاتًا وَكَانَ تَقِيًّا, that he's going to have a special type of hanan from us, a special type of compassion from us, and a special type of purity from us. And he's going to be from the God-fearing. وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَيْهِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ جَبَّارًا عَصِيًّا, and he is kind to his parents, he will be obedient to his parents, and he will neither be arrogant nor disobedient. Now, subhanAllah, it's really beautiful here because you see the beautiful qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah says he's already named, and look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sawwarahu wa qaddara lahu, as the ulama mentioned. Allah has proportioned him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for him that he's going to have these special qualities already embedded in him. And if you remember, in the Ramadan series, we talk about the hadith of Al-Ashaj, who comes to the Prophet ﷺ, and he asks the Prophet ﷺ, Al-Hilm al-Ana, these two qualities that Allah loves, was I born with them or did Allah put them inside of me? And we said that Allah puts these things inside of you, but then you have to nurture them. You have to nurture them, right? And bring them to the next level. So imagine, Yahya comes out with a name, and he comes out with these qualities that are meant to give fruit, first to his parents and of course to the world as well. And you have to also see the correlation. A lack of having hanan and zakah, a lack of having that compassion and that purity, would have led to him being jabbar and shaqiyah, right? Would have led to the opposite qualities of being arrogant and disobedient. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a special type of purity, a special type of cult of compassion. And then Yahya alayhi salam cultivated those traits in the most beautiful of ways to their blessed ends. And so the qadr of Allah brought Isa and Yahya to this world miraculously, but it also shaped them miraculously. And we continue to benefit from the efforts and from the impact of that until today. And of course, that is also a sign of the answer of the dua of Zakariya, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not incapable, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not stingy with his sincere servant, that when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with husn al-dhan, with a good expectation of him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala far outdid anything that Zakariya expected of him when Zakariya alayhi salam called upon him. He gave him a son and gave him the most beautiful qualities. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to also make beautiful dua, mm-hmm. and to have beautiful qadr come as a result of that, mm-hmm. which only comes as a result of beautiful tawakkul. Allahumma ameen. Inshallah ta'ala with that, pass on Shaykh Abdullah.
Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Amma ba'd. When speaking about the position of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives, his ability, his qudra as well, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ala kulli shay'in qadir, he's able to do all things. And he literally proves that in every life, in all the prophets' lives, alayhim wassalam, may Allah have his peace and blessings upon them. It's important for us to remember that Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir, that he is able to do all things. I want to share with you one example of that in the chapter of Taha, chapter number 20, verse 14 through roughly 18. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about him choosing Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam receiving the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he chose him to be a prophet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى, I myself chosen you, therefore give ear to what is revealed. إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِيمَ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. Verily I am Allah, there is no God besides me, so serve me and establish the prayers to remember me. A small point here is very, very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him. The first thing that he told him to do is to remember him and to establish the prayer. We see the second pillar of Islam is the prayer. After knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah acknowledged who he was, told him who he was. Musa understood that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him the first thing to do is to establish the prayer. And this is important for us as Muslims when we try our best to come back to Allah. Know that part of that equation is to continue or start with praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ أَكَادُ أُخْفِيهَا لِتُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا تَسْعَى. The hour of resurrection is coming. I have willed to keep the time of its coming hidden so that everyone may be recompensed in accordance to this effort. Allah is telling them something about the future, that the sa'ah is close, to show the importance of the matter. I chose you for something. Start to pray because you don't know when the time on this earth will end. There is a sa'ah, آتِيَةٌ أَكَادُ أُخْفِيهَا, that it is coming. And this is important for us to know that we don't know when we will leave this earth, individually or collectively. We do not know what are we doing in this life. Looking at the ayat and the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then asking ourselves, how am I using the ayat which is in front of me in a way that pleases the creator of the ayat, the signs, and I myself am one of those signs. How am I using it in a way that pleases my Lord? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, and then he says, فَلَا يَصُدَّنَّكَ عَنْهَا مَنْ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِهَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ فَتَرْدَى. Let him who does not believe in it, in the sa'ah, in the hour, and follows his lust, not turn you thought away from it, lest you are ruined. Do not let those that don't believe in what you hold dearly in regards to your connection with the creator of the heavens and the earth, don't let them turn you away from that. Don't let them, family, friends, whoever it may be. It's important to know that Allah is the utmost important element in our lives, and He is someone that we should always turn to and try our best to live up to the Sharia, the system that He has created for us. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the question, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. Musa had a staff with him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, not out of ignorance, but to prepare all of us for a lesson. وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. What is in your right hand? قَالَ هِيَ عَصَايَ أَتَوَكُّ عَلَيْهَا وَأَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَى غَنَمِي وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَآرِبُ أُخْرَى. Moses explains, he says, this is my staff. I lean on it when I walk, and with it I beat down leaves for my flock, to hit the trees down, leaves down from the trees, and I use it to أَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَى غَنَمِي, yeah, to hushum, to direct them a certain direction. وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَآرِبُ أُخْرَى, and I have many other uses for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, أَلْقِهَا يَا مُوسَى. Throw the staff. فَأَلْقَاهَا فَإِذَا هِيَ حِيَّةٌ تَسْعَى. So he threw it down and it turned into a rapid moving snake. Something that we would never expect. Musa didn't expect it. Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allah is able to do all things. Never give up on the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives for things that happen externally and also what happens internally. This is why we say things such as, Ya muqallibul qulub thabbit qalbi ala dinik. Oh, the one that makes the hearts firm, make my heart firm on your religion. Always know that it is possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change you or to change a situation. Our responsibility is to know Him and to trust Him and to love Him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues on to say, قَالَ خُذْهَا وَلَا تَخَفْ سَنُعِيدُهَا سِيرَتَهَا الْأُولَى. Then he said, seize it, have no fear, we shall restore it to its former state. وَضْمُمْ يَدَكَ إِلَىٰ جَنَاحِكَ تَخْرُجَ بَيْضَاءَ مِنْ غَيْرِ سُوءٍ آيَةً أُخْرَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, and placing your hand in your armpit, it will come forth as a shining white without any blemish. This is another sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah shows him two signs here. The staff that turns into a snake, and then his arms that is illuminating. And then Allah concludes here, لِنُرِيَكَ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا الْكُبَرَىٰ, to where we will show you some of our greatest signs. Brothers and sisters, remember this month of Ramadan is a time for you to be better. And it's a time for you to reminisce over those signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The community member you haven't seen for a long time and you've apologized or they've apologized to you. Those intimate nights that you've had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, signs that it is possible for you to be better. And know that Ramadan is a catalyst for that. With this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared him by showing him his signs, proving himself to him, and he tells him, اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى. Go and face the world. Go and face Fir'aun, the one that has transgressed the bounds. In our lives, when we see these signs of Allah, use these signs to be obedient to him and know that it's always possible to where you can face this world in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It can change your heart and change the hearts of others. Barakallahu feekum. الله يسلمك شيخ ياسر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ثم بعد، جزاك الله خير شيخ عبد الله شيخ عمر for this beautiful introduction to the جزء number 16 of the Quran. What I want to share is really the starts from the end of جزء 15 and the beginning of جزء 16, which is the story of موسى عليه السلام and الخضر. In terms of al-Qadr, in terms of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared Musa alayhi salam to meet and face the world and Fir'aun, Allah azza wa jal is bringing to us really the concept of knowledge and the concept of Qadr of Allah azza wa jal. Here is Musa alayhi salam standing before Bani Israel, and he is there, of course, speaking to the people with a divine connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ultimate knowledge, because Allah speaks to him directly. And one of Bani Israel asked him, is there anyone who knows more than you, Ya Musa? To which Musa immediately he said, I don't think so. Because he had that divine connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't think that anyone would have a better maybe access to that knowledge. To which he confidently he says, I don't think so. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately gave the news to Musa alayhi salam, who told you so? Go such and such place, you will meet a man. Go and learn from him. Musa humbled himself and goes to this man and he meets with him. There he asked Musa alayhi salam, ask him a simple question. قَالَ هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِ مِمَّا عَلِّمْتَ رُجْدًا. Can I follow you and teach me something that I would like to have guidance from you? Al-Khidr immediately answered Musa alayhi salam, قَالَ إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. You can't handle this knowledge. وَكَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ عَلَىٰ مَا لَمْ تُحَطْ بِهِ خُبْرًا. How are you going to handle such a knowledge if you don't know exactly what's the context of it, where it's coming from? Musa alayhi salam, he says, قَالَ سَتَجِدُنِ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ صَابِرًا. Don't worry, I'll be patient with you. I just want to follow you. So he told him, he says, if you're going to do so, قَالَ فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي عَنْ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى أُحْدِثَ لَكَ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. Don't ask me a question until I'll give you the news and I'll tell you exactly why this happened for. Now, the concept of all this now, part of the story is all of us as human beings, we love to know so we always feel safe and secure. If I know what's happening tomorrow, it makes me feel safe and secure. If I know that I'm going to have food tomorrow, if I know that I'm going to, inshallah, that I'll be safe, if I know that my house is going to be okay, my job is going to be secure, if I have that knowledge, it will always keep me safe and keep me secure. But Qadrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the secret, is the sir. If you know everything, you will never need God subhanahu wa ta'ala anymore because you're already safe and secure. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept that element of the future, understanding the Qadr, secret and hidden, so that you always need Him. And you always need him for guidance, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
Just like Sheikh Abdullah mentioned about the story of Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equipped Musa with ultimate knowledge, changing the laws of what he knew to be different. Musa alayhi salam, he had the staff in his hand for ages. And he never thought it's going to change to something such as being a big snake. His arm is always the same thing, the same color. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now changing the rule of nature for him. So Musa alayhi salam, now he has an ultimate level of knowledge. Now that is power that will keep him strong to stand before someone such as Fir'aun. Imagine if you have the knowledge that would connect you straight to the divine subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing will shake you. This is exactly the same concept that we need to have as we go through our difficulties and hardships in our life, such as what's happening in the world today, what happens also in the situation in Palestine and Gaza as well. People wonder about this issue. But if you have the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-alim, al-hakim, إِذَا قَالَ شَيْكُمْ فَيَكُونَ, if He says something to be, it will be. We know that everything happens and there is wisdom behind it. We might know it, we might not know what it is, or might not know it. But with our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that kind of qadr and yaqeen and certainty put us at ease. The story of Musa alayhi salam continues right now in Juz 16, obviously as well too. So Musa alayhi salam goes with al-Khidr on three incidents. The incidents of the boat, and then the boy, and then, of course, the village that they went to. As for the example of the boat, they went for a free ride. And halfway through that journey, Al-Khidr, he takes advantage of the absence of the owners, and he makes a hole in that boat, to which Musa alayhi salam was surprised and shocked. What would you do this for? But Al-Khidr had knowledge of the future that Musa did not know about. Then comes the story of the boy, in which the end of life, the life of this boy was on the hand of Al-Khidr. Obviously, the parents don't know what exactly happened there. But Allah has His own taqdeer as well too. And Musa, he saw a crime, but he didn't know the context of it. And then came the story also of the village when they did not give them hospitality. Al-Khidr still insisted on fixing that wall for them, to which Musa was very upset. So when he complained, Al-Khidr told him the story. He said, look, now I can tell you what exactly these things are all for. The three examples tie into the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything in our life ties into one of these examples. Number one, the example of the boat, they didn't know there was a tyrant taking all these boats and usurping them and stealing them from them. That hole saved that boat for them. So basically, what happens is sometimes we focus on the hole in the boat. We don't know that the khair that's going to come beyond that, because that same hole was the reason why their boat was saved. The child as well too, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may give it that the parents, they remain patient simply because they have iman and faith. They might not even know why this child was taken away from them, but they know for sure that Allah subhanahu has wisdom behind it, and they remain patient and they moved on with their life. As for the example of that wall, Musa didn't know that behind this wall, underneath the wall, there was actually a treasure for two orphan kids and boys. And Al-Khidr, he had the responsibility to save that wall without even taking credit for it. So our job in our life is not always to question the why. As long as you trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just do it. Just do it. We always have the desire to have that knowledge. But sometimes it might not be beneficial to us to focus on this as much as knowing that in the moment, all what I need to do is this, so I'll do it and trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the consequences and the results. Wallahu a'lam.
Barakallahu feek, Shaykh. SubhanAllah, it's interesting because the whole is the qada,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's, you can't read the qadr based upon how overwhelming the qada is, right? So you're so overwhelmed by the appearance of things, and it's so dramatic, right? You're on a ship and it's drowning. There's a child dying. How can you possibly like even begin to read into the estimation of all of this and the qadr of this, right? So you can't come to terms with qada if you don't trust the qadr, which is, of course, the sirrullah fi khalqi, right? The secret of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
But that requires, of course, a great amount of meaning, not necessarily knowledge. A great amount of meaning. Yani basically, what does that mean? Sometimes you'll find people have, mashallah, great degrees in Islamic studies, but in a moment of calamity, when the iman of al-qadr is very weak, that knowledge becomes nothing. But you have an average person who has no education, no Islamic education whatsoever, but their iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them that meaning to everything they see. And I love to use the expression, subhanAllah, they see beauty in the middle of chaos. They see that beauty in the middle of that chaos. The parents that Allah subhanahu spoke about in the story of Al-Khidr and Musa, he says, وَكَانَ أَبَوَاهُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. The reason why these parents, they moved on, they did not stayed, you know, holding themselves hostage to that moment of loss and grief. It's because they knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a plan for them. That strength of iman made them move on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hikmah and wisdom, which was revealed to us in the Quran, in the surah, that Allah was preparing a better child for them. That child could actually cause them pain, but another child would be better for them. And Allah did that for them, subhanahu wa ta'ala. They didn't know. But just the fact that they trusted Allah's judgment, subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they were able to find beauty in the middle of this chaos completely.
That's amazing, subhanAllah. I mean, when you hear now with the children that are dying, subhanAllah, in Gaza right now, and you know, when you're talking about meaning, I love how you mentioned that, because you know, you find fulfillment in knowing in that sakina and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you won't find anywhere else, because you can't rely ultimately on anything else. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, within the sharia, that the children will be in Jannah, inshallah. Even with our reality as human beings, there's a time frame to mourn. No. Allah doesn't deny our humanity, but there still is a level of responsibility in regards to the grand scheme of things. And that what makes it so beautiful when the time of calamity comes, you know, subhanAllah, when you have to take a step back and really realize, okay, what matters? Okay, Al-Khaliq is the one that gave this child to me. And Allah's inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You know, that's a beautiful statement when you think about it.
You know what's amazing is when you look at Musa alayhi salam, his life, what a life, like subhanAllah, like what a life, how many twists and turns can a man have in his own life, right? So he starts off, I mean, he wakes up to a reality where he's like in the Nile River. What is a baby thinking in a river, looking around like, what's happening here?
In the middle of strangers.
Right? In the middle of strangers in the Nile River. And then how does his life end? He's prohibited from entering into Jerusalem.
SubhanAllah.
Despite being Kalimullah. And he, you know, the one Allah spoke to directly. And so he dies tahta kathib al-ahmar, right? He's buried just in the wilderness, right? In a random desert, right under a particular red dune the Prophet ﷺ mentions. Like, what a, like, it's always like this complete submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether you like it or not, right? You have to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But with that being said, you know, when the Prophet mentions that we have more right to ask, you know, the way Ibrahim alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give him a sign for ziyadat al-iman, for the increase in faith. No. That the prophets before, there's this constant growth. Of course, Ibrahim did not go from a place of having no faith to having faith. No, it was increasing his yaqeen, increasing his certainty with the faith that was already there. With Musa alayhi salam, this whole thing with Al-Khadr happens later in his life. No. This is after he's seen the snake. This is after he's seen the sign in his hands. This is after he's seen, you know, the sea split and take away this vicious tyrant. He's seen it all, right? No. And still, despite having seen it all, Qadr requires just a level of taslim. It requires a level of just submission. Like, I just don't know, you know? So I still can't, even at that point in his life, he's still growing, right? And of course, he's at a level of infallibility as a prophet of Allah before that, but he's still growing, subhanAllah, even in those moments, and that appreciation of Allah's qadr.
You know, Sheikh, subhanAllah, adding to this this issue is that, like, when Musa alayhi salam, of course, he, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him first to the prophethood, it's not like every Nabi has his own way, was introduced to the mission, right? Musa alayhi salam came with this huge shock, obviously. He sees a fire in the desert, so he goes to check it out, and he wants to see some guidance there and so on. Allah gave him divine guidance. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to, first of all, when he started hearing the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to him, he ran away. And Allah says, irja, come back, don't be afraid. That my messages are not, shouldn't be scared like this. So he came back and he started speaking to his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah is testing him. He says, look, what do you have in your hand? He saw the staff. He said, that's my staff. Okay, well, put your hand there and see what's going to come out of it. Allah gave him the proof and the evidence and the ultimate knowledge that, you have miracles. You have power in your hand right now. Mm-hmm. But still, though, he never stopped desiring to know more. So the moment he thought he had all the knowledge he needed and he realized now, suddenly, no, there's someone who knows more than you.
Yeah.
Okay, now that gives me a moment of probably as a human being, natural human being, give me an anxiety. Because now I don't know everything anymore. Suddenly right now I need to know more. So he goes to that Al-Khadr and he demands, I want to learn from you. And Al-Khadr told him, like, look, what I know, it's not going to be beneficial to you. You have your thing to do, I have my thing to do. He goes, no, I want to learn from you. And he tried, and I don't want to say he failed in the three terms, but at least we learned a huge lesson that, right, subhanAllah, no matter how knowledgeable you are,
right,
we were always desired to know more.
The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi wished he was more patient.
Absolutely.
And he even said, alayhi salatu wasalam, because we would have got even more.
We
right?
would learn. We would have learned more as well, too. Yeah. So we always desire to learn more because we think that knowledge is going to give us that certainty, the ultimate certainty that will give us, would put us at ease. But still, even Anbiya, they wanted to learn more. And even the story of Maryam, when she was given birth to Isa alayhi salam, قالت يا ليتني مت قبل هذا وكنت نسيا منسيا. I wish I was never there. This never happened to me. Even though she's already been given the divine knowledge that you are going to be carrying a baby, and she did without being touched by a man. So this is miraculous. So all of this, but still we're human beings. That element of knowing more put us at ease, and I think it is tied to Al-Qadr. Because I wish I know what my Qadr is.
Mm-hmm.
And if Allah has given you all the answers already, then you would be living in Jannah, mm-hmm, not here.
Sheikh, you got any 30-second last words?
This is a beautiful statement. Al-Qa'idu fil Qadri kanadri fi shams.
No.
Right, the one that keeps looking at the Qadr is like the one that looks at the sun. You cannot fully understand it, and it could even be dangerous to you. So it's just, I had that taslim, just submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via.
And it's interesting because you keep talking about knowledge of the future. If Maryam knew that her name would be in Quran, a chapter named after her, and the legend that would come after in those moments, it would have certainly made it a lot easier to go through that. So when she says, يا ليتني مت قبل هذا وكنت نسيا منسيا. I wish I was forgotten. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. واذكر في الكتاب مريم. You mentioned Maryam. There's a whole chapter after
you. She'll never be forgotten. Subhanallah.
Amazing. So knowing the future would definitely make it easier, but alhamdulillah, we know the one who knows the past, the present, the future, and we trust him. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those people. Barakallahu feekum. May Allah make us amongst those people who submit themselves. And jazakallah khair, Shaykh, for being with us and provoking, of course, so much insight. Shaykh Abdullah, as always, jazakallah khair. Everyone, we will see you all tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.